Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesia can maximize digital growth worth 1.4 quadrillion rupiah. Ministry of Environment and Forestry expects SNE to be applied for natural tourism management. Now the news in details. Indonesian Ambassador to China Jauhari Oratmangun believes that by cooperating with China, Indonesia will be able to maximize the growth of the digital economy worth $100 billion, or around 1.4 quadrillion rupiah in 2025. This was stated by Ambassador Jauhari Oratmangun at a meeting in China on Wednesday, as reported by Antara. Previously, Ambassador Jauhari spoke at the Digital Maritime Silk Road Sub-Forum in Fuzhou, Fujian Province, along with representatives from Serbia, Portugal, Australia, Ghana, and Nigeria. He added that at present, Indonesia is leading a digital economy in Southeast Asia by having four unicorn companies with valuations worth more than $1 billion. The four startup companies are Gojek, Bukalapak, Tokopedia, and Traveloka. According to him, the Digital Maritime Silk Road can be a key change for the digital economy, both in Asian and global regions. Ministry of Environment and Forestry, along with Indonesian National Standardization Agency, supports the development of an environmentally friendly and sustainable natural tourism sector. This is done by developing a conformity assessment scheme, which can be used as a monitoring instrument that refers to Indonesian National Standards SNE. Head of the Environment and Forestry Standardization Center at the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Nur Adi Wardoyo, after the launching of the National Standardization Conformity Assessment SIM Development Program on Natural Tourism Management in Jakarta on Wednesday, hopes that the SNE can be applied to manage natural tourism, which is now being promoted. We had ever socialized the Indonesian National Standard SNE on Conservation Day in 2017. At that time, the tourism area management stated that the most of them had already participated. They mostly had been fulfilled by them. But how to show that they had fulfilled it? If they declared themselves, it seems that they have met the standards. But when they are compared between national parks, there are maybe some that practice better than others. So we make SNE as a joint reference, and we will encourage all national parks to be able to show that they meet these standards and can lead to sustainable improvement.
Dan nanti kita dorong semua taman nasional bisa menunjukkan ya memenuhi standar ini dan bisa menuju kepada perbaikan yang berlanjut. Jadi semuanya taman nasional kita ajak untuk ayo bisa menunjukkan bahwa kita maju, ada rujukan.
Nur Adi Wardoyo also hopes that the launching of the development of conformity assessment SIM can become a momentum for the implementation of Indonesian national standardization on a national basis, considering that natural tourism has become one of the major backbones of the national development sector. Indonesian Ministry of Defense through Director General of Defense Potential pushes a non-military defense to become part of the national program, which must be carried out by all ministries, agencies, in a bid to face complexities of non-military threats. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Director General of Defense Potentials at the Ministry of Defense, Bondan Tiara Sofyan, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that after becoming a national program, all ministries or agencies must further describe their work programs and budgets. According to him, the problem of national defense is not only the responsibility of the Ministry of Defense and the Indonesian National Army, but also the rights and obligation of every citizen, including the role of the ministries or agencies. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Technological development and information openness are rapid and massive, so that these can directly or indirectly change the mindset of the young generation. To counter these challenges, Indonesian people must love and implement the values of the five basic principles Pancasila. This was stated by Minister of Defense Ramiz Ardrankudu to media at a symposium on the threat of mindset war in the era of information disclosure at the Ministry of Defense in Jakarta on Wednesday. He also said that the introduction of Pancasila's value from an early age is very important so that the young generation know the ideology of the Indonesian nation and state. What is important for us is being firm. Trusting Pancasila is number one. Indeed, learning Pancasila must be started since childhood. I have coordinated with the Ministry of Education and Culture and the Ministry of Research, Technology and Higher Education that there are 300 rectors that I invited to come so that they explain to their university students. Furthermore, Minister Ramiz Ardrankudu also explained that the mindset war connected with internet technology is very dangerous and becoming the threat for Indonesia. Therefore, he also stated that the concrete and comprehensive efforts are needed from all stakeholders and all Indonesian people to synergize, deter, and resist all forms of negative and destructive mindset. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry held again an Indonesian Arts and Culture Scholarship in 2019. The event, which has been held from May 4 to August 16, is aimed at introducing the potential of Indonesia and promoting it through Foreign Youth Ambassador who received the Indonesian Arts and Culture Scholarship. Director of Public Diplomacy of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Aziz Nur Wahyudi, to RRI in Jakarta on Wednesday said that there are three new Indonesian friends who participated in the Indonesian Arts and Culture Scholarship, namely Portugal, Gambia, and Colombia.
Pada tahun ini kita mempunyai tiga sahabat baru dari tiga negara.
This year we have three new friends from three countries that participated from the first time. They are from Portugal, Gambia, and Colombia from Latin America. The second is what is different from last year's program is that the program will not end in Jakarta. This program will end in Banyuwangi City because the program is held in six cities. So the orientation is carried out in Jakarta. Then we will place them into six cities, namely in Jogja, Banyuwangi, Padang, Kutai Kartanegara, Makassar, and Bali.
Banyuwangi, Padang, Kutai Kartanegara, Makassar, dan Bali.
Moreover, this year there are 72 youth from 40 countries that participate in the Indonesian Arts and Culture Scholarship Program. Of the 72 people, six of them come from several regions in Indonesia, namely South Sulawesi, West Papua, East Kalimantan, Yogyakarta, East Nusa Tenggara, and Central Java. They will learn the local wisdom and hold excursions and to historical tourism sites, and they will be involved in various cultural and tourism promotion activities in their regions. Indonesian Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto and Vice President Wife Mufidah Yusuf Kalla inaugurated the exhibition Gelar Batik Nusantara as an effort to promote and develop Indonesian batik, which experiences an increase in diversity. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister Erlangga said in Jakarta on Wednesday that batik becomes an increasingly popular and worldwide identity of the Indonesian nation. At present, batik is transformed into various forms of fashion, crafts, and home decoration that have been able to touch various layers of society, both at home and abroad. After being successfully held in previous years, in 2019, the Gelar Batik Nusantara is held again for the 11th time on May 8 to 12 at the Jakarta Convention Center. Minister Erlangga Hartarto also said that his side continues to speed up the development of the small and medium industries of the batik sector that has played a major role for the national economy and is the main contributor to the country's foreign exchange. Bengkulu Provincial's government will hold an event called Tour de Bengkuland as one of the agenda to successfully make the year's tourist visit in 2020 with the theme Wonderful Bengkulu 2020. As quoted by Antara News Agency's second regional assistant of Bengkulu Province, Gotri Suyanto said in Bengkulu on Wednesday that the Tour de Bengkuland event to be held in June will be attended by domestic and foreign athletes. He explained that this activity will be a strategic event in promoting Bengkulu to the international world. Because the foreign participants are from Turkey, Russia, Vietnam, Brunei Darussalam, Singapore, and Malaysia. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawat.
Listener, today's commentary is about the plan to relocate the nation's capital. Jakarta, the capital of Indonesia, has become a megalopolis. With its approximately 10 million populations, Jakarta grows narrower thanks to the new housing and great urbanization. In addition, high economic growth gives birth to the new problems such as traffic jam and flood coming from the people living at the riversides. Another problem is that the development is overly focused on Java Island. In response to that, President Joko Widodo, in a limited meeting on Monday, April the 29th, had decided to seriously relocate the nation's capital due to the increasing density of Jakarta. President Joko Widodo views that the study of capital relocation doesn't include sociology and sociopolitic aspects only. As a great nation, the president added that Indonesia wants to have separated seat of government from the centers of economy, business, and trade. Previously, Minister of National Development Planning Bambang Brojonegoro said that President Joko Widodo would decide to relocate Indonesian capital outside Java Island. He further explained that the National Development Planning Agency had concluded three criteria of the capital relocation. First, it stays in Jakarta with building special block for government around the national monument. Second, it moves to outside Jakarta with radius around 60 kilometers. Third, it goes away from the Java Island. The capital city must be strategic and as far as possible from any natural disaster threats. Meanwhile, in the limited forum of capital relocation, Dean of Gajah Mada University Technical Faculty, Nizam, say that the capital candidate must be in the region with high heterogeneity to minimize the social and cultural conflict potential. It also must consider migration effect since it can create marginalization of the local people and then creating social conflict. Capital city relocation plan had long been initiated by the first president of Indonesia, Sukarno, who named Palangkaraya in central Kalimantan as the new capital in 1957. Sukarno saw Palangkaraya because it is located at the middle of Indonesia. However, it remained as a mere idea until next Sukarno's successors. It's not the first time for the capital relocation idea to create pros and cons. On one hand, careful considerations of cost during this difficult economy, as well as the movement of state civil apparatus and their family, are required. On the other hand, relocation opens space for the government activities far from business and economy. So, the government can be more focused on governmental issues. Besides, the relocation should be able to help boosting development outside Java Island. Well, listener, that's a commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Today in History, our regular program. Today in History starts from an event on May 9, 1974, on which Judicial Committee of the U.S. House of Representatives opened formally impeachment investigation of Watergate scandal, which involved President Richard Nixon. Watergate scandal is a scandal name which is used to describe a series of political scandal in the United States of America involving President Richard Nixon. The scandal brought about a constitutional crisis which was scandalized in 1970s. In the campaign period of presidential election, supporter group of Nixon from Republic Party Committee for Re-election of President installed Tapper tool at Democrat National Committee office. Due to the incident on May 9, 1974, The Judicial Committee of the U.S. House of Representatives opened formally impeachment investigation on President Richard Nixon. On August 8, 1974, President Nixon resigned. The next event was in 1978, on assassination of Italian Prime Minister Aldo Moro. Former Prime Minister and candidate President Aldo Moro was kidnapped on March 6th by extreme left terrorist group Red Brigade. The hardline group demanded 13 prisoners of their militia members to be released. After missing for about 1 month in the kidnapping, former Italian Prime Minister Aldo Moro was finally found dead. His body was found in Rome in the car baggage on May 9, 1978. The last event is that in 2012, Sukhoi Superjet 100 fell on Mount Salak, Bogor, West Java. On May 9, 2012, Sukhoi Superjet 100 flight number RA36801 fell when conducting flight demonstration or joy flight. The airplane departed from Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport, Jakarta, by carrying 45 people. But on its flight for a few minutes, the airplane disappeared from the radar screen on the height 1,900 meters and to be predicted to fall. Finally, on May 10th, Sukhoi Superjet 100 plane debris was found on the cliff of Mount Salak in Bogor, West Java. The plane crashed the rock of Mount Salak. All passengers were killed in the accident. That was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal. Thank you.
aku merasa hidup ini seperti kaca. Jikalau tidak bersabar, hancur berderailah akhirnya. Tabahkanlah hatiku melalui semua itu.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia entitled, Surabaya Becomes a Reference for ASEAN Waste Management. Surabaya, capital city of East Java, becomes a leading city in waste management. This is proven by choosing Surabaya to be the only city in Indonesia that wins Adipura Kencana Award. In terms of facilities, Surabaya has a waste recycling center, namely the Jambangan Recycling Center, that deserves to be a role model. The waste recycling facility that was built in 2015 can manage 5 to 6 tons of waste per day with a maximum capacity of 20 tons per day, and daily income from processed waste reaches 6 million rupiah per day. During the visit of the Secretary General and permanent representatives of ASEAN member countries regarding the waste management at the Jambangan Recycling Center on Friday, May 3, Director General of Pollution Control and Environmental Damage, Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Karliansyah, said that waste management in Surabaya is truly extraordinary and should be a model for other cities in Indonesia, even ASEAN. Karliansyah added, Surabaya wants to show its existence as the most leading city in waste management to the Secretary General and Ambassador of the ASEAN countries. That policy is driven by not only the regional government, but also the initiative of the local community. Moreover, Karliansyah added, that the Jambangan Waste Recycling applies the Black Soldier Fly or BSF technology, which is the result of cooperation between the Environment and Forestry Ministry and the Green Cleaning and Open Space Service of Surabaya City. This technology utilizes fly larvae to eat organic waste from leftover food and household waste. 10,000 larvae are able to decompose 12 kilograms of waste in 12 days. In addition, Karliansyah also said that the Jambangan Recycling Center has been the project of the ministry since 2015. The city government of Surabaya is currently building 3 more recycling waste centers. There are 12 similar waste recycling centers in Indonesia, including Citarum Watershed, Labuan Bajo, Ponorogo, Bandung, and Cimahi. ASEAN Secretary General Dato' Lim Jok Hoi, after reviewing the Jambangan Waste Recycling Center, said that Indonesia should be a role model of waste management for ASEAN member countries. He hopes that Indonesia can share knowledge and waste recycling technology with other ASEAN countries. At the end of the visit, the ASEAN Secretary General tried Surabaya Bus, an environmentally friendly transportation in Surabaya that implements a system of paying bus fares with plastic waste. The passengers can choose to pay for the bus fare with 5 bottles of medium-sized mineral water, 3 large bottles, 10 cups, a plastic bag or crackle, or plastic packaging. They can also get around Surabaya for 2 hours free of charge. That was My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Danamusic.com.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. In today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we will introduce a typical food from Wakatobi Regency, namely parende. Wakatobi is a regency in Southeast Sulawesi province. The regency is one of maritime tourism destinations in the province because part of its territory are national sea park with amazing and beautiful undersea wealth. Besides maritime tourism destination, culinary tour should also be conducted when you visit the province. There are various kinds of delicious foods, especially seafood which you have to taste, such as parende. Fresh snapper fish with spicy yellowfish gravy with spicy sour taste. That is a typical food of Wangi-Wangi City, Wakatobi Regency, called parende. Besides red snapper fish, grouper fish is also used as the main ingredient of this culinary because the fish has soft meat and delicious taste. Besides sea fish, other ingredients used to cook parende are tomatoes, willow starfruit, basil leaves, tamarind or lime, red onion, garlic, turmeric, and lemongrass leaves. Parende is usually served in warm. When it is served, typical aroma is directly smelled. Besides sour and spicy, the taste of parende is dominantly savory. This culinary is usually served with rice. The local people of Wakatobi said that the culinary is suitable to treat flu and lost appetite. Spices in the dish can cure flu and cold. Listener, you can find parende in many restaurants in Wakatobi with a price of 15,000 rupiah to 20,000 rupiah per portion. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. See you in other interesting topics. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to Miscellany. In today's edition, we will present you information about Ramadan Festival 2019. Stay tuned. Listeners, the Aceh Culture and Tourism Office launched the Ramadan Festival 2019 to commemorate the holy months of Ramadan. The festival entitled Wonderful Ramadan in Aceh has been held from May 7th until 21st, 2019 at Taman Budaya from 5:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Western Indonesian Time. Head of the Aceh Culture and Tourism Office, Jamaluddin, said that the event is the realization of the Aceh provincial government's commitment to develop the region as the halal tourism destination in Indonesia and restore the region in a bid to welcome both domestic and international tourists. The Ramadan Festival 2019 is meant to attract not only domestic but also international tourists to participate in numerous activities in a bid to enliven the celebration of Ramadan and explore the beauty and uniqueness of Islamic destinations in the region, which is known with the title of the Veranda of Mecca, as well as perform the fasting ritual on the land of Rencong. The activities consist of opening ceremony and bazaar. The culinary bazaar presents various delectable foods for Muslims, breakfasting. In addition, the Ramadan Festival 2019 also features a number of art performances, exhibitions, and competitions such as Islamic culture and art competition, Islamic cultural exhibition, Islamic movie screening, breaking the fast together, Islamic lecture, and other interactive supporting activities. There are also other activities such as Tarawih prayer in congregation, charity event with orphans and clothing auction. The money obtained from the auction will be donated to the orphans. The Ramadan Festival 2019 presents unique and enchanting ambience with various traditional decorations of Aceh culture, which showcase the characteristics of Islam. The unique ambience gives new experience for the tourists. Indonesian Minister for Tourism Arif Yahya said that Aceh has immense potentials to be the center of halal tourism destination, because the requirements of developing halal tourism mostly have been fulfilled by the Aceh province, such as appropriate facilities and halal tourism services. The Ramadan Festival 2019 makes the tourists more interested to visit and explore Aceh. Listeners, that was miscellany about Ramadan Festival 2019. See you on our next edition.
Rapuhnya aku, kau tak tahu betapa rapuhnya aku, masih terasa luka di masa lalu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to the regular segment of Music Corner. In today's edition, I will invite you to talk about Bimbo Group in their song entitled Tuhan. Bimbo is a music group which is known with ballad songs presenting the theme of daily activities. In the 1980s, Bimbo began to compose a lot of social criticism and religious songs. The first religious song of Bimbo entitled Tuhan. The song was composed by Sam Bimbo, leading vocalist of Bimbo Group. He got an inspiration after performing Friday prayer. The song Tuhan told us about Almighty God, where humans beg for complaint, beg for forgiveness and protection. The song is frequently played during Ramadan holy month in Indonesia. The legendary song has also been arranged by a number of musicians in Indonesia like Gigi Band. Well, listener, here is the song Tuhan by Bimbo Group.
Thank you. dengan segala doa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kilohertz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and send us email on voi@voinews.id.